Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm good. I was hoping to kick this one off, Sal, but go ahead. You just you go ahead and just run with
it's
it.
It's a private joke. Thomas is over there laughing because Jeff's like, oh, you just go ahead and kick this one off. We got a guest with us today, another special guest, Tracy Widmire with Grip Ag, CEO of Grip Ag. And Tracy, before you introduce, we'd like to hear your history and lots of questions about the company and what it is. But something very important is the question of the day. And I think most of our listeners tune in just for this, and hopefully they hear the rest of it.
Just because of the great answers that Sal and I give.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This one's easy, or maybe it's kind of hard. I don't know, but it's what's the scariest book or movie?
So I got two for you. The first one, the very first Exorcist movie. Back from the 70s. I think I had watched that, too early in my childhood career.
I can't watch it today.
Yeah. It was very scary, kind of tormented me for a long time. And I would say more recently, Social Dilemma, I think it came out in like 2020, but it was really around social media addiction and kind of the dopamine hits and likes and all that, just sort of, opened the eyes in terms of what some of these companies are doing and what their intent is. I never really realized it until you hear about it or watch it. And
the big brother scary type thing.
Yeah. And just using marketing and videos to, sort of get you to do what you want them to do for marketing purposes. And I got a couple of older kids and daughters, and it's like, man, they're getting all sucked into that sort of stuff. And who knows what the intent is.
Sal does that to our salespeople. They don't know it.
right.
What he does to them.
Yeah. The drip, 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 drip.
The Sal dilemma.
Yeah. It is.
Jeff, what is one of yours?
I need taste. I can't even talk. I detest horror movies.
I can't do it anymore.
When a young age, I just did not like them. I did see The Exorcist, Nightmare on Elm Street, that kind of stuff. But if a bunch of guys got together and say, hey, let's go watch a horror movie or something, I'm like, yeah, I'm out. I just do not like them. Interesting thing about The Exorcist. I actually heard a Catholic priest exorcist talk about that. And because that was based on a true story and how the girl, and I'm going to get this wrong, but it's, I think it's Father Ripper. I can't say his name either, but he talks about that and how she went back into that and she is, they actually helped a lot of people because of that, demonic
possession.
Now I'm just scared just talking, just goosebumps.
That's it's cool to listen to those exorcists, talk about their experience and stuff. It'll get you.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to listen to that. Is that yours too? The Exorcist?
Exorcist or Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street. Terrifying. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I'm like Jeff. I have no interest anymore. I may have watched those when I was younger but anymore, I can't. I read, so interesting. You said probably at an age too young, I read The Shining. Mm-hmm. I was in sixth grade, unbeknownst to my parents probably, but, read The Shining and, that one part where the old lady is in the bathtub behind the shower curtain.
Yeah.
Well, I had farmhouse. We upstairs, old farmhouse, had a bathtub with a shower curtain. I wouldn't go in there at night it was a long time.
So do you have a clear glass door on your
yes,
shower?
Yes, I do. We did.
Okay.
But no, I don't. And then most recently, Kim and Kate got me hooked on. They watched this movie called Stranger Things on Netflix, and that is scary to me. I didn't like that. So,
yeah, one of the more popular ones recently. Yeah.
Is that you heard of it too?
Yep.
I can't do it.
I thought you were a brave Marine,
but not for night Freddy Krueger and stuff like that. I'm out.
Just avoid it altogether.
Yes. Well, Tracy, tell us a little bit about yourself personally and kind of your career path, and then we'll get into Grip Ag. But how did you get to where you're at today?
Yeah. So I grew up on a farm in Wisconsin, pretty rural upbringing. We had chickens that we would butcher by, 120, 150 a year for the local community. Soup to nuts, we'd raise them from chicks. We also did some heifers. dabble in sheep for a bit. And then my grandpa's farm was adjacent, and he had about 300 or 400 head of dairy cattle. So, you know, picking rocks as a kid, hay, you know, in the hay mow, all the things you would expect. And then I went to college in a small liberal arts school in Wisconsin, graduated with a software engineering degree, and immediately left, you know, as every farm kid wants to try to do, leave the farm. I went down to Chicago, was doing software engineering, and then got the kind of the startup bug. The first one I worked for, we were doing credit reporting. So when you buy a house or a car, you know, you have your credit profile, and we were work with large banks and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That company was actually started in the Valley, but they brought the technology. Chicago was kind of in the red, and we turned it around. We were throwing off about $2 million of profit, went back to the owner and said, hey, you know, give us that $2 million. We'll get you 50. You know, we were trying to build and, you know, traditional kind of venture-backed startup. And he turned it into a lifestyle company at that point. I wasn't interested in that. I wanted, you know, kind of grow and build and continue to on that journey. And so I left there and started my own company. We were doing 3D market research for large brands. We had, you know, companies like Walmart and Home Depot and Kellogg's, General Mills, but basically had 3D technology to have them visualize the shelf to get you to buy more Pringles or Bud Light or whatever it was. It was sort of a video game in a retail store. People would take an online survey and, you know, we'd make them do shopping missions and understand what was going to, you know, get them to buy more and notice things on the shelf, or you could do pricing, promotion, that sort of thing. So that company, we raised a ton of capital, $50, $60 million. I was there for 12 years as one of the founders and the chief technology officer. You know, and I ended up leaving that company and did a stint in private equity, which is a bit different than startups, which just wasn't for me. I was there for a couple of years, had an exit, and it was fairly successful. But I call it like lipstick on a pig. Like, you're just trying to dress up the company enough to sell it to somebody else. Mm. And I missed, you know, actually building. I was such a builder at heart growing up on the farm. You know, I still own lots of equipment today. And eventually got hooked up with Purdue, which, you know, incubates a bunch of ideas. I can kind of explain that in a bit, but, you know, Grip started with this idea around equipment maintenance in agriculture. And, you know, I have skid loaders and backhoes, a dump truck, like a tons of stuff, a sawmill, and saw the issue firsthand.
Neat.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's a good lead in, to Dial Ventures. And first of all, that was one of the things that when we first talked and first met, and we talked about the product, I guess, that of what we're going to, what you've done. But that was one of the first things I thought of, was like, hey, I've got equipment and those. But back to Purdue and Dial Ventures. What is that?
So Purdue has a venture fund called Dial Ventures, and Dial is Digital Innovation and Agribusiness Systems Laboratory, as Dr. Gray says all the time. Like, Purdue loves their acronyms, you know.
And it's, what is it? What's the acronym again? I've never heard the
Digital Innovation and Agribusiness Systems Laboratory. I don't know. I think there's
How long did they take him to get that?
It's probably the hardest part. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a traditional venture fund. So they've got investors, of which Premier is one of the investors.
First investor.
Yeah. Yep, marquee. And then they've partnered with a venture studio called High Elf Innovation out of Indianapolis. And so the difference with a venture studio is they sort of incubate advantage companies, they call it. So Purdue's process is basically bringing in venture fellows, Dial fellows, and those are seasoned entrepreneurs to really engage with the community, Purdue's network, you know, people in agribusiness, agriculture across the country. And a couple times a year, they'll bring in these entrepreneurs and they'll go tour facilities, walk farms, like learn about the challenges across, you know, agri-food that are underserved or need help, you know, and then those ideas get researched over, you know, really a 2 to 3 month process. And then the winning idea or ideas will get sort of pitched back to the investors. So, you know, Premier and the other investors will sort of get a vote to say, yeah, this is a serious challenge worthy of us giving a little bit of seed capital and getting a team together and starting a company. And so Grip was one of the first couple of companies out of that process 2 years ago. And the mandate was basically equipment in agriculture. The maintenance side of it is underserved. So it's very, very broad topic. But, you know, the Dial has, you know, done things like H2A automation and efficiency to marketing platform for farmers to connect with brands, to land management. It really doesn't matter. It's just, you know, they focus on software, but, you know, not hardware, equipment, or robotics, but their mandate is wide enough to tackle anything across ag.
What, I guess a little bit, how did you find Dial, or did, how did Dial find you, and at how far along did you have your business or business idea before you went there?
Yeah. So I wasn't part of the Dial process. I think I'm one of the unique companies that have come out of this incubation process. So typically when they bring in the fellows, the fellow that, you know, incubated and kind of led this idea ends up becoming the founder and CEO to build a team around. For whatever reason, the fellow for Grip, it wasn't a fit or decided not to take it or do other things. And so right around that time, I was, you know, helping roll up a private equity company in the ESG space. And I said, hey, I'm either going to start a company or go find an early stage one to work for. And I got hooked up with High Alpha Innovation and Elliot Parker. And he said, hey, you ought to go check out what Purdue's doing with Dial. They just kicked out of an equipment, you know, kind of broader equipment need there. And I was like, hey, I grew up on a farm. I'd love to do some industrial. So I connected with Alan Gray and learned of all the research and was like, man, you know, I opened the back of my skid loader and I have Sharpies written on the filters and the same type of, you know, everyone.
I've got a wooden post in my barn that I write.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I immediately sort of, you know, could resonate with the problem, and one thing led to the next, and, you know, talked to the whole Dial team.
Okay.
And
that's
went from there. Yeah.
That's a great lead in. So what is this? I mean, we've got everybody that we've been going on for 10 or 15 minutes here. So now tell us what you're passionate about. What problem did you solve?
Yeah. So in the original Dial mandate, it was agriculture equipment. And so when I took the reins of Grip, I, you know, went and found my co-founder. I brought in a gentleman that I had worked with before, so we get along real well. And we immediately went on a kind of a listening tour with all the folks across the Purdue network that had given input into this. And they, of course, said, look, the farmer is struggling because they're really dying a death of 1,000 apps. And what I mean by that is, like, there's a tractor app for every color, right? Yes. There's a food safety app. There's a DOT app, a truck app, you know, you name it. There's an app for everything. And most often than not, they're built for somebody who has never walked the shoes of a farmer, driven a tractor, you know, plowed a field or any of that sort of stuff. And so they're inherently too complex, or the pricing models don't work. And so the farmer says, not doing it. You know, I have seasonal workers. I'm just not going to do it. I don't have dedicated, you know, CTO or somebody who can teach me this stuff. And so they've stayed on paper or you know, spreadsheets, or we see a lot of WhatsApp or group text to communicate with your team on what was done or what I have to do or what I got to remember to do. And so, you know, when we heard that, it was, gosh, we have much more of an opportunity on just farm equipment, but really, like, the farmer struggling to track anything he owns. And so instead of saying we do equipment tracking, it's really operational record keeping on anything that's important or you know, is key to the success of the farming operation. And so we developed a technology with a mobile app. It's got QR codes, you know, big stickers, little stickers, PVC cards, magnets. That QR code becomes the bridge from a physical thing into a digital profile that you build up over time. And so that, imagine having like a LinkedIn or a Facebook profile for your tractors or your grain bin or your motors or your trucks, or, you know, we have folks doing cherry disease tracking in their orchard. And so that becomes very easy for farmers to build up over time. We noticed they didn't have any history. You know, we said, hey, do you have history for the what you've done? And they're like, no, it's in my head, or Johnny knows it. You know, hopefully Johnny
I'll
doesn't
remember
get it
when to change the oil.
It's on the fence, but it's on the post.
Right, right, exactly. Or written, you know, on the backside of the filter that you can't quite see, you know, those types of things. So, you know, and then along with the tracking capabilities of the equipment, we noticed farmers communicating with their teams in ways that corporate America saw for decades. So you go work on a farm, you bring your own email with you, your Gmail or your iCloud. Like you're not going to go work at Premier and bring in your Gmail address for all that. Like that information stays with the corporate entity in corporate America. And so, you know, to communicate with their team, they're using text, WhatsApp. Like if that person leaves, that information escapes the farm into their own personal, you know, accounts, and you can never get that back. Yeah. And so the farmer's not able to benefit from, you know, learning or getting better, or looking at the trends or any of that sort of stuff. So, you know, the way Grip's design is be very flexible to track anything and then build it over time. So we don't have like a 6-month setup period of like, you know, one of the things that farmers get anxiety over is like, hey, give me a list of everything you own.
Oh.
And they're like,
I don't know.
Right.
I hate that. You know, Napa or whoever's got a filter sale and they're like, don't worry about sale. Give us a list of everything. And I'm like, ugh.
Right. Right. And I mean, farms have consolidated over the last couple of decades. So they have, you know, locations that are 20, 30, 40 miles apart. They don't know where the stuff is half the time, you know? And so we've said, instead of doing that, let's just build it over time. It's very media heavy. Pictures and videos tell 1,000 words. They're the evidence that you can't really fake versus like a checklist. Hey, I did the oil change, but if you take pictures of the, you know, the filter parts, the invoice, the leak, whatever it is, like evidence like that doesn't lie. Plus we don't have to train people. Everybody knows how to take a picture because they're using social media already. They know how to chat because they're using WhatsApp or text already. So, you know, none of our farmers really have to go through lengthy training. They just, you know, use the skills they already have.
So if I go in a local part store and I need to get filters, I can't remember what the filter number is.
Yeah.
Can I pull this app up?
Yeah.
And literally it's like, oh, I want filter.
Yeah.
B549.
Yeah. You'll have filter lists. We'll put, you know, the manuals that you get that you can never find at the right time. All that stuff, you know, you scan the QR code and it's immediately available for you to take a look at. We also have, like training videos or little videos on calibration. We have a farmer down in Texas that does hay. And for whatever reason, he's like the only guy that retwines the baler, not because it's difficult, but because he just hasn't shared anything and it's like up in his head. And so he wants to create little videos, almost like TikTok videos about how to retwine it, that when you scan the QR code for new people that come in, he says H2A workers or seasonal staff, like, hey, watch this. Here's a video of the 5 grease zerk points to grease, like that type of stuff that, you know, is stuck in somebody's mind that you can't distribute to the farming operation.
That's interesting. Now, you said something interesting because we keep talking about equipment, but you also said tracking disease and cherry trees. So this is not just equipment.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's you know, equipment, trucks, trees, tractors, you know, facilities, grain bins. You know, the cherry disease example is interesting because one of our growers up in the Pacific Northwest, they've got like a acre plot that they grow all their cherry and apple varieties. And they use that to try to understand like canary in the coal mine stuff on which diseases are going to affect which species from year to year. So, you know, throughout the growing season and planting season, they'll walk the orchard, notice blight on a leaf of a particular variety. And what they had done in the past is, you know, scribble some notes on a checklist or piece of paper, go back to the office, try to key that into Excel. It was probably a different person. So the evidence there again was like disconnected 4 or 5 words. And then they wouldn't have pictures. So it would just be like, hey, this grid outline on this orchard is, you know, a Bing cherry tree or whatever it is. Like then somebody a week later would go lop off the limb, send it to a lab, the lab report would come back. And so just data's everywhere. So with Grip, they'll walk the orchard. As soon as they see something, they tag the tree with a QR code. they fill out a little bit of a form. So we've taken the paper form and put it into Grip. So it's 4 or 5 different questions. And then they they scan pictures of the blight. Then somebody lops a limb off. They send it to the lab. The lab sends a big, extensive report back. That gets attached into GRIP. So now you have everything right there. And we're seeing, instead of like 5 or 6 words because it was scribbled on a sheet of paper, they're actually talking into their phone, describing you. You're getting paragraphs of information. And so not only the time savings there, but just like looking historically at the diseases that have come and gone throughout the years from a history standpoint, how to better prepare next growing season. Like, they're ecstatic about having that, the picture evidence, the PDF reports from the lab right at their fingertips.
So when they tag a tree, are they literally hanging a QR code from a limb? Is it staked in the ground next to the, how do they tag a tree?
Yeah, in this case, it's a PVC card, you know, just zip tied to the tree. And of course, like, only the trees that have the diseases, they don't track everything until it's sort of at the moment of truth. Okay. There. You know, so we have that type of scenario going on. And then apple packing facilities, we've got hop machines, H2A housing inspections, you know, that are done. All sorts of things. And of course, the equipment, you know, that's a no-brainer there as well.
You know, Tracy, take us through an example of kind of like when we talked, and I think we kind of pieced it together, but take us of it through an example of, you've got your skid steer and you put the QR code, you create it, and just kind of, how does that work? I mean, just, you kind of mentioned that everybody comes and goes, but they have this app on their phone. It's the same app.
Yep.
And kind of, how does that work? How do you see the vision of it?
Yeah. So we try to focus on the setup process being as easy as possible. So, and we've got, you know, when we sign up a new farm, we will have them watch 15 minutes of video, and it basically shows them what, okay, to do. You know, the first couple of farms we set up, we would go meet them, shake their hand, show them how to do it. But it's fairly easy to do. So, you know, we've got stickers that you would put on the, you know, on a cab or a inside jamb of a door, or, you know, any place you can get that. And so the process, put the sticker on, scan the QR code with the app, take a picture of that asset and give it a name. And that's as simple as it, you know. You can then take more pictures. A lot of time they're taking pictures of the filter. So you get the number, you get the data plate, you get the pin plate, like enough information there that, you know, we can pull some of that information out so you can look it up later for your VIN or pin number, those types of things. But at that point, that piece of equipment is immediately available to you to start tracking information against.
And then you kind of build it, right? Yeah. Then you just start building.
Yeah.
And whatever you do to that piece of equipment, that's when you start. It's as simple as, you don't have to go find the book, if you even have one,
yep,
in the binder, and write down the filter numbers and stuff. And that's one of the hardest things, is just keeping track of when you did something, at what hours.
Yep.
And you know, now with talk to text, you can almost talk these things in.
Yeah.
And serial numbers. I think it's just a pretty fascinating thing, that just put that QR code sticker on there, and to be able to pull up the owner's manual and insights like that, instead of having to, like you said,
yeah,
they're in the filing system, maybe.
Right.
You know,
I mean, a lot of times the history for the farmers is a picture of that, you know, binder that's in the shop that hasn't been updated since,
yeah,
2018. And that's the history. You know, they just take that picture and attach it. And it's those types of things that, you know, we've tried not to prescribe how to set it up. It's flexible enough for the farmer to do it. You know, some of these apps that weren't built for ag will say, okay, you got to go get 20 pieces of history and all these before you can start using it. You got to have all this information, and farmers don't have it. They don't have the time to do it. So yeah, we've taken that very flexible approach. You can create issues, you can create notes, and you can edit that later. You can add to it when you get back to home or at your desk and add more information that you may have or may not have. And then the lightweight forms that we've added is basically like taking a Google survey and recreating that. When you scan the code, we call them routines or shortcuts. So anyway, place you were using paper to track things, we can sort of recreate that pretty easily. So you have a little bit more structured information than you might get in just like a text thread or a couple of pictures. A good example of that is, we've got an Apple company that packer and a grower that work with us, and they sell 5 pound bags of apples to like Costco and Walmart. And a couple times a day, they would calibrate that 5 pound bag. Somebody would, you know, write it on a sheet of paper, and they do that 4 or 5 times a day, flip it over. The next day, you do the same thing. They would tell us all the time, the food safety guy would say, hey, I would walk by that sheet at 3 PM and there'd be no records on it. And all of a sudden by 5 PM, the whole day was done. Right. So somebody's just sort of backfilling.
Yeah.
And then because we're digitizing that now, what they've noticed, because they can go back and look at trends, is their 5 pound bag weights are over by as much as 16%.
Oh my God.
So they do millions and millions of dollars of apples. 16%, yeah, is escaping the farm. But no one was going back looking at those sheets of paper to ever put that together. Right. So very simple of example of taking something that was structured on paper, putting it into a digital form that gives you that history, and now, you know, you're saving millions of dollars, literally.
Wow. That's pretty neat.
That's very interesting. My guess is farmers are the kings of invention. Do you have some stories where a farmer made the purchase? I'm going to use Grip, but I just need it for this.
Yep.
But now it's grown.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had Apple and Specialty, especially up in the Pacific Northwest. They have more people, places, and things to track. And so one of the cherry orchards that we work with, they have 16 different orchards. It's kind of in the hilly area of, the Dalles up there. And they have Schedule 30 PVC pipe underground doing all the irrigation. You know, then every once in a while, you'll see a vertical come out with a little valve on it. And he's like, hey, I know in addition to the maintenance of equipment, I know the state's going to ask me for water usage pretty soon, and I need a way to track that. I've gotten some quotes in to completely like bring in IoT and all these sensor-based solutions. He's like, but my Schedule 30 is running in the root systems of the trees. Like, so I'd have to disrupt that. Plus, you go into these very like Kettle Hill type situation and the cellular connection isn't always there. And so he's like, I know if I would put this in, it's going to cost me $3 to $5 million, disrupt the root system. I don't know what that's going to cause. And then it's probably only going to work 80% of the time. So I'm going to have to figure out another process for the 20%. So he said, why don't we take a PVC card, zip tie it to the valve. Your guys are already in the orchard every day anyways, turning those valves on and off. And so when they turn it on, they can scan the QR code, say it's on or it's off. And as long as they do that, we can calculate, he knows the gallons,
the flow rate.
And right there, you've got a very inexpensive way because he's already sending guys to the orchard daily anyways to track water usage. And he's like, it's cost effective. You know, his contract's a couple grand a year. I mean, it's not a lot. And, he's got all the records now that he can recreate and look at that stuff historically without the disruption of putting the stuff in.
Or the expense of the metering system and the...
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. So we see, something that may have started out with just an equipment need, we often see once they understand how easy it is and then the different types of things they can track, it spans out from there.
Do you think you'll have it? I know you're working with manufacturers right now and trying to, it seems like another leap to get from that serial number or model number and to be able to pull the manufacturer information, the oils and that type of things that's in the owner's manual. Do you think that'll be a next step where you'll be that aligned with the manufacturer to be able to pull those things?
Yeah. Yeah. We actually just signed up our first manufacturer. It's a company out of South Dakota. And it's for that reason. It's to create a durable connection from the equipment manufacturer to the owner.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that goes through dealer networks, and a lot of these short line guys are getting kicked out of dealer networks, or they're not moving stuff fast enough, or they don't sell enough, or for whatever reason, they want a connection to the owner that's much more streamlined. And so, our Grip tags will go on the piece of equipment with all the tips, tricks, manuals, the service intervals, maybe calibration videos, that type of thing, right there for the owner to, warranty information to scan and have access to. And then in that sort of two-way communication channel. If the equipment owner has questions, he can reach out directly to the manufacturer. You know, a lot of times now that goes through the dealer. You know, dealers all, you know, can't always service all these different types of equipment. It's getting more technical, so they can't answer these questions. And the model has been, go to the manufacturer's website, go to some blind form, put your name in, hope somebody emails you or calls you. Here, you scan the code, the owner can upload pictures, take a video. Like, you've got all the information right there for the manufacturer to respond directly. And then, of course, as there's updates or bulletins or changes to, you know, calibration techniques or whatever, or this particular manufacturer wants to help their owners maintain the equipment better, you know, so service intervals. Hey, we noticed you didn't change the oil, flush the hydraulics, whatever it is, like, you know, usher them through that from an equipment maintenance standpoint, but also just a customer relationship standpoint. You know, they want to be top of mind if you're buying another piece.
Nice. Better experience too.
Yeah.
Better maintenance, better experience from the equipment or products.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And another example that has come up quite a bit recently is we have a dairy farm in LaPorte, Indiana. And he was like, hey, can I copy this chat information out of GRIP? And I was like, well, why do you want to copy it out? He's like, well, most of my laborers are Spanish speaking. So I'm going to copy that out, put it in a Google Translate, try to copy it back. And within like 2 weeks, we said, hey, we can do that for you. We just started translating automatically. And, you know, it's made a world of difference, right? Where you've got two-way communication happening with different languages that nobody knows is happening. It just makes it that much quicker. All that information centralized. Like, it's made a world of difference.
Well, you brought up the dairy farm. And I'm sitting here, I raise a few cows, and I'm sitting here thinking, if I had a QR code on the ear tag, I would know the last time I wormed, you know, what the breeding date was, you know, because, you know, I've got my little paper book that I write it down on, or the calendar. I try to put it in my iPhone calendar, but I forget.
Yeah.
I guess, if you got the vet there, and let's say you're preg checking.
Yep.
You got your phone in your pocket, pull it out, you hit the code, it tells, hey, yeah, she was, this is the day we bred her. He, you know, just stuff that he would ask you, you would have an instant record. Have you done livestock?
Not yet, but I was in Nashville last week at an industry event, and I met one of the companies. It's more of a credit facility to insure or loan information against livestock. And they're looking for a tracking solution to do exactly that. Like, that the more you have tracked on your, like, there's a lot of ranchers, I guess, that have no tracking information. You got to go out to the farm, hunt in the across the ranch or in the woods or whatever to try to find these folks. And so they want to use that to improve rates, you know, loan rates, maybe, you know, get rid of the phantom issue, which a lot of folks have. You know, you say you have 500 head and you maybe only have 300. So can we verify, you know, you got to have it tracked. And then on, you know, the other example is like on the show pony or show horse side, there's a lot of information tracked there, you know, for stud fees and things like that, that really show that your horse, you know, has been taken care of and has the vaccinations and, you know, all those types of things. So, you know, we're pretty close to inking a couple of, you know, larger deals on that side to do exactly that. Yeah. There's a lot of like bolus and things that you put in the cow's stomach to do some of that stuff. But the difference is, it's not easy to collect that information at the point of the, you know, when you need to record it, the vet's in front of the animal, you know, you're going to take a book and then go transcribe it back when you get to the office. So anybody can scan and control.
Well, yeah, because you can put RFID tags in.
Right.
But I don't want to have to buy an RFID reader. Yep. I got my phone. I just scan the QR code.
Yeah. And in this case, like the vet could scan it. And you know, we don't require you to have a password or an app. We can geofence it to your location. So anybody can scan without having that nuance.
Neat.
I'm glad you brought that, because when you were talking earlier, I said, so the farmer has the app. Does he give his, you know, his employees, hey, here's my login. So you can geofence. That's interesting. Probably tell some more people what is geofence.
Yeah, explain
that. So geofence would say, hey, in a certain radius, or think of it like a field boundary for your operation, anybody can access that QR code without a password. And without a password, you don't really have to create that profile, which a lot of people would struggle with, especially in the H2A kind of migrant labor. Sure. Where you got the communication barrier, and sometimes people don't know their iTunes password, even download the app. Like, we see all sorts of things there. So no app, scan the code, you get access to contribute information. And you're going to have named users that are logging in, that are the managers or the maintenance folks or whoever. But you know, a lot of these operations that have, you know, one this Apple company again has like 70 or 80 forklifts running 3 shifts a day, and they do OSHA checklists before every shift. So you got 70 pieces of equipment times 3 shifts, having folks scan and do an OSHA inspection without requiring the app. So it's very easy, a couple of taps, you know, wow, you're in and out. Yeah.
And that is so neat that resolves a problem of having to have passwords and sign-ons and everything else. They right. just
Yeah, and even with like the sort of the last innovation is on the economic model. You know, we when we talked to farmers originally, it was, hey, a lot of these, you know, non-ag fleet tracking apps charge me by user. I have too many seasonal people. I got people hauling grain for me that don't work for me full time. Like, do I got to buy? And it's not going to do it. And so we just say, hey, no user fees. Bring everybody there. We're not going to charge you. We're just going to give you buckets of QR codes or buckets of tags. We say, so instead of saying how many things do you own, it's like, you want 50, 100 or 250. And you can start in any one of those and move up as you become more familiar. It's month to month pricing. So there's no long-term commitment. You know, we commercially launched in March of this year. We're on 50 to 60 operations and nobody's left the platform, you know, even with month to month pricing. And I always tell them, like, hey, yeah, if I'm not doing what I say we're doing for you, don't pay me next month, you know. And but everybody's stayed on the platform, which is a testament to the need.
Are you starting to see guys coming back and saying, hey, I need more QR codes?
Yeah. Yeah. We have people that we set up in March and April, like, that continue to tag things today. They notice what they can do, or they have a piece of equipment or a power washer they're using a couple times a year, and same type of thing there.
That is a neat concept.
Yeah.
And if you won some awards too, right? And
yeah.
Since March. So
yeah, we won Farmer's Choice at the Top Producer Conference. So I did a pitch on stage there against, I don't know, 9 or 10 other companies. And we were the Farmer's Choice in the sense of, like, the idea that's got the best chance to succeed because it's the biggest problem. You know, there's a lot of biologicals and things like that that were good ideas, but I think our broad adoption helped. CropLife named us one of the best apps for ag in the summer. And then more recently, Farm Bureau runs a national Ag Innovator Challenge. And they had hundreds of applications. We made the top 10. And then a few weeks ago, the top 10 pitched to make the top 4, which will pitch in San Antonio at the end of January for $100,000. So we made the top four. I'm feeling really good about that. Just again, like the broad adoption, you know, we're in specialty rice, cotton, row crops, dairy to nurseries, hoop houses, like, you name it, everyone seems to have the problem across every geography. You know, we try to ask farmers, tell me somebody who's already doing this, and we've not heard anybody.
Well, it's just, I mean, there were so many applications, not, no pun intended, but you mentioned grain bins.
Yeah.
Right. To put it on a grain bin and not only track inventory or grain movement, you can do the maintenance.
Right. Exactly. Know? Yeah. The same tag satisfies yes. both of those. Yes. And it allows your drivers who are coming to go in just to log the load or whatever.
Do you feel this has an application for a small guy like me that's got, you know, couple, a skid loader, a tractor, and a mower? I mean, that's,
yep.
that's, you know, pickup truck.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, am I too small for your company?
I don't think so. I mean, I've said before, like, we've seen this happen or be in need on every farm. And so our vision for Grip is, like, when I go out and sell, I'm going to focus on the top 5%, the largest ones. But, you know, in terms of what's next for us, this network effect within farming is huge. Like, you may have a half a dozen pieces, but you may be the canary in the coal mine in your community to be the innovator. You may try stuff out, test it, and refer to your neighbor and say, hey, look, I've used this QR code system. It works pretty well. I know I'm not a big operation, but you may want to check it out. And we've seen that referral process happen all the time. And so we have very, like, our we call it, like, the hobby program for us is like $9-10 a month. So for a small farming operation, like, you know, that works just fine. And through that process, we'll eventually start to connect, you know, like-minded farms in the same geography or with the same equipment or the same crop across geographies. Farmers are already asking us to bring in their trusted partners into GRIP. So can I put my agronomy information, my third-party mechanic, my dealer, like, can I bring that stuff so I get a holistic view of everything that's important? And so we would fully expect GRIP to be on every operation at some point, just because, you know, why should everybody, even the smaller guys, have to deal with paper or, you know, WhatsApp or whatever?
Oh, it's a very cool idea, and it's not an idea, it's an actuality. And it's just, I mean, there's a need for this out there, and it's so simple to use. I just think this thing's going to explode.
Yeah.
Jeff, you asked the same question I did. I was like, you know, I'm not like a real big operator, and Tracy went through the same thing, situation with me. He's like, well, you know, $10 a month and you get this many QR codes, and oh my gosh, the value of that. I mean, you know, of course, everybody's got the tractor on the bush hog that they don't use very often. Right. And, you know, if you've ever hooked up bush hogs, you know why they have a tractor hooked onto a bush hog. Right. And it stays there, but, it's just a neat thing. And you went to cattle. I think that's pretty cool that you just thought of something like that.
I just know how bad I am at paper records.
Yeah.
Right.
And then finding them.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
All right. Well, that's all I've got. Jeff, you got anything else?
No, this was interesting.
Yeah.
Appreciate having you here today.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. We forgot. How do they get this stuff, Tracy?
So you can, our website is grip.ag. So GRIPP.ag. We have, you know, videos and content there. We can, you know, pricing is listed. You can sign up, put your credit card in. We've got discount codes if you're interested. Reach out to me on LinkedIn or you know, I'm on the website as well.
Grip.ag.
Yep.
That's easy enough. We can put that up there, can't we, Thomas? Awesome. All right, Tracy, thank you very much for showing up. And I'm like Jeff, I think this is going to take off.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks for coming.
That's another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Thank you very much.